In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is what St. John Chrysostom calls the greatest and last of all the feasts of the Church, because it fulfills and completes everything that has gone on before. In fact, it goes all the way back to the Incarnation. The very purpose of the Incarnation was this particular day. St. Gregory Palamos talks about how we had just seen the ascension of the Lord and how he had risen up to heaven. And in today's feast, we find out exactly how far our human nature was taken up into heaven, to sit at the right hand of God the Father. The absolute pinnacle of everything the Lord ever did is completed on this day as we invoke the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come upon all of us. This day also fulfills the antitype of what had happened in the Old Testament with the dividing of the tongues at the Tower of Babel, because at that time, everyone sought unity, and they sought unity out of pride and arrogance through their ability to make this marvelous structure which would climb all the way up into the heavens. But the Lord spoiled that by dividing all the tongues, by making all of them not able to understand one another, by confusing everything. Whereas today, he unites everything by the tongues again, bringing all into unity through him and into Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great and extremely marvelous day in the Church, this day of Pentecost. Because this is the day that all of us become imbued with the Holy Spirit. This is the day that all of us can ask God to send His Holy Spirit upon us individually. If you look at the icon of Pentecost, you'll see that these tongues of fire, while emanating from one source, are all given individually to each one of the apostles that were there. That's because there is one Holy Spirit, but yet a diversity of gifts that He gives to everyone. The portion is given to each different person according to what they need, according to what their particular state happens to be in God, and according to what He has granted all of us from the beginning of time as to what He knows about us and knows that what we can receive. We might also think of this as a strange sort of thing, because we hear about tongues of fire, and it seems odd to us, tongues. But St. Gregory Palamos again clarifies this for us, because he says that if Jesus Christ is the Word of God, then there is no closer relationship than word and tongue. And so you see there that the Holy Spirit, even then, sharing all the things of Christ, sharing things of the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, was under attack at one particular point in time, as indeed He often is today as well, because people do not understand exactly what this third hypostasis of the Holy Trinity is all about, who He actually is. Some believe that He is simply an empowerment, a spirit of Christ, so to speak, but He's far more than that. While Christ does send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself is from God, an equal and all-powerful member of the Holy Trinity, was equally involved in the creation of all of us, equally now involved in the resurrection of Christ, equally involved now in giving every one of us the power to become sons and daughters of God. Jesus Himself said that if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. He said, even the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and as the Creed says, with the Father and the Son together, is worshipped and glorified. Now, in the West, of course, they believe that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's what the Filioque clause is in the Creed, which any Catholic or Protestant church today that recites the Nicene Creed still utters this, and it's a great heresy, because it was put into the Creed to protect the divinity of Christ, because those Arians who were saying that Christ was not fully divine, was not begotten of the Father before all ages, well, they said, well, Okay, but if we have the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son eternally, that will guarantee the divinity of the Son. But in so doing, they actually disparaged the divinity of the Holy Spirit. Because it's very clear in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. End of sentence. That's all you need know about that. But you see, one of the problems in the West was that the Latin language, procedere was the word, which means procession. They did not have two different words for proceeds and sent. And so they confused the two of them, that the Holy Spirit sent by the Son means that the Holy Spirit also proceeds eternally from the Son, which is not the case, because we have the monarchy of the Father, the unoriginate Father, the Son who is begotten of the Father from all eternity, He always existed, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father from all eternity, He always existed. And this might seem, you know, a quibble. In fact, in theological discourses and arguments that they have around the world and ecumenical talks and whatnot, they say, well, big deal. You know, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter, because things like this are what led to the idea of the infallibility of the Pope, for instance. Because if the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and the Pope is the vicar of the Son on earth, then in some way he has the power also of controlling the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the infallibility of this one man, which of course as Orthodox we entirely reject. So it's very important for us to understand what these things really mean in the context of the Trinitarian life and of Christology. That the Holy Spirit has to be proclaimed as equal to the Father and to the Son in all things. He lacks nothing that the other two have. And in fact, we pray to Him at the beginning of every single liturgy that He will ennoble all of us to participate in the liturgy and everything that we do in the church through His power. Now, it's also important not to, and many people do this, not to start thinking of the three hypostases. I use that word instead of person because person has an entirely different meaning in English. We tend to think of three different people. And a lot of people do actually think of the Holy Spirit in that regard, that it's a separate entity somehow, that it's something that God sends and uses, that He creates and does things for us on earth. And that's entirely wrong, entirely wrong. The Holy Spirit is fully God, and we need to remember that. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. It all starts from there. They are not three different people talking to each other and interacting with each other and doing different things. No, they are three hypostases of the one Trinity, co-equal, co-in equality, co-in-essence, because they are all made of the same God stuff. They are one God. But we dare not go further than that in trying to figure out how this particular interaction among the hypostases of the Trinity works, because we don't know. You'll go mad trying to think about it. It's impossible to know. We simply can't know. All the fathers tell us that. We know that there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's been revealed to us. But what that really means in the life of the eternal Godhead is beyond us. And guess what? It always will be. We will never understand this. The cherubim and the seraphim sitting right next to the throne of God now have no clue how that is. They don't know. The Mother of God, the most exalted of all our saints, who is also in heaven now, higher than the cherubim and the seraphim, has no idea how that works. Because there are things about the Godhead that are impenetrable. We simply cannot pierce that inner essence of God to understand how all of this works, what it really means. We only know that there is one God, and that He manifests Himself to us in three different hypostases, but that all are equal. Why this is, I don't know. Don't ever ask me. It's impossible to know. But as we celebrate the Holy Spirit today, it's incumbent upon us all to understand the Trinitarian nature of this, which is why tomorrow, which we call the Monday of the Holy Spirit, we celebrate the Trinity. That's why the icon of the hospitality of Abraham is over here. That's why it's in the narthex right now, because of the Trinitarian nature of all this. Since it's a culminating feast of the entire year, since it is the fulfillment of everything that has gone before, that's why the Trinity is put forward to us now as the completion of all of these things. So ponder on them, but don't get too overly involved with it. Simply know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are with us at all times. And on this day in particular, we revel in the fact that because Jesus Christ did go up to heaven, that he did take our nature, divinizing it, sitting at the right hand of God, that because he did this, the Holy Spirit now comes to us and testifies to us of all these things. On this day, when they were gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, it said, as a mighty wind, echoing again the things that we had heard all through the Old Testament about wind and breath and the whirlwind and things like this. We know that when the Lord appeared after his resurrection to the disciples, what did he do? He breathed on them. And so this notion of wind, of breath, is very important. And when it comes upon all the holy apostles and disciples, immediately these fishermen who had been with the Lord, who had experienced doubt, who had experienced betrayal, who had experienced confusion, immediately they became divinized and knowledgeable of the things of the Trinity, of the things of God. They became theologians automatically. There was no learning curve for them. Because right after that, what happens? Peter, who had denied the Lord, goes out and starts preaching to everyone. This magnificent sermon at Pentecost when 3,000 people came into the church. Just like that. That is what the Holy Spirit can do. And you might think, well, if we pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit today, like we will in just a little while, why does that not happen with us? Well, because the apostles were prepared. They had lived with the Lord. They were prepared for everything that was going to happen. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and fulfilled all this, completed them, and made them into the beings that the Lord had first called them to be, so that they were then able to go out into all the world, all the known parts of the earth, and convert people. That little seed there became what we have today, these 12 mostly unlearned men, who because of this particular power that the Lord had sent, that the Holy Spirit had come and given light and life to all of them, because of that, we have the church as it is today. And so as we say these prayers after the divine liturgy is over, we should understand that that same Holy Spirit will come upon us as it did at Pentecost if we are simply open to him to come upon us, to not close our hearts, close our minds to him, but instead open our hearts and allow all of us to receive that light from God that he has so desired to give us from the foundation of the world. Amen.